This episode is brought to you by Boast.ai. Each year, the US and Canadian governments give out billions of dollars in R&D tax credits and innovation incentives to fund businesses like yours. But the application process is cumbersome, prone to frustrating audits, and receiving the money can take up to 16 months. Boast.ai gets you access to research and development tax credits and innovation funding opportunities without the headache and red tape. Join thousands of North American companies leveraging Boast.ai software to maximize cashback. Check out www.boast.ai.
Your customers want to be able to reach you from anywhere, anytime, on any corner, in any country, region, whatever, from any channel. And that's usually on their cell phones, right? So they really have high expectations. So you need to be obsessing about that digital layer, because that's the way increasingly that customers are reaching out to you. Convenience is paramount. And we know this, right? But how does this show up in real world? Customers expect fast response times, but also fast solve times. Just getting back to them isn't enough. They want you to help them really quickly. And that means you need to be investing in automation and self-serve, because actually our data tells us they don't actually want to talk to you at all. They actually want to self-serve and have solutions sent to them, you know, right, put in front of them, so they can solve right within that service interface without actually having to go very far. And so what we'll see, and I'll talk about this, is that layer of solve and self-serve is moving forward to the service layer from deep within help centers and websites, and sending them further and further away from where they are. And that is tied to this focus on conversations. You're really trying to build a relationship with your customer when you're doing this.
I need some traction. You need some traction.
Hey, what's up, innovators, entrepreneurs, visionaries, and disruptors? This is your Traction Podcast host, Lloyd Lobo. We're a community of over 100,000 people, just like yourself, on a mission to help you get the methods, the money, and the madness to explode your business growth. Featuring stories and tactical advice straight from those who've done it before, like Shopify, Twilio, Asana, and many more.
So I am going to talk to you today. I'm COO at Zendesk. For those of you who don't know us, I think most of you do. We've been around 15 years. We really disrupted the customer service space and made it powerfully easy to provide great customer service and engagement to your customers. So what am I going to talk about today? I'm really going to talk about how you can take and improve your CX best practices and map those with your product and broader business practices to really accelerate your growth. We do this at Zendesk. We tell all of our customers to do this. And when they do, they see a lot of benefits to their business, which is incredibly important in this really challenging time that you just heard us talk about. All right. So Zendesk, 15 years old, started out serving startups. We now serve companies of all sizes, including Fortune 100s, but we still love startups. They're a huge part of who we are. A lot of us, including myself, are former startup people. A lot of our business has come from growing those startups. We have some of our great startup customers from here in Canada are Neo, Sherpa, Modern Health, and of course, Shopify. All right, so you're gonna see a little build here. I'm COO at Zendesk. I've been there for about 5.5 years. And what I'm really focused on in my business and what I do is really connecting these critical departments that work together and making them much more efficient and run much more, much better to help our customers. So first and foremost is customer service, right? For us at Zendesk, that happens to be customer zero. This is the team that actually uses all of our software. But for all of you, what's important about our customer service team is they're the one who's at the center of creating a great CX for your customers. And they're also providing the customer intelligence and insight that really helps the rest of the business understand where we are failing customers. Product team is obviously very focused on building for customer success. They're the reason we're all here at our company. There's no product, there's nothing to sell. And then there's go-to-market teams, which are obviously selling to the customer. Within my current role, I really focus on connecting customer success, which is what product builds for, which is financial success, which is revenue growth in our case. The two things are really the same, and that's a really important thing for your teams to be thinking about as they're building. because if you make your customer successful, they will vote with their wallet and you will be successful financially. So what this talk is about, it's all about investing in your customers. We are in a crazy time. I'm old enough that this is my fourth crazy time, so I'm kind of used to it by now. This one seems particularly annoying, I will say, but it's tough times all over, right? We've got this bizarre situation where unemployment is extraordinarily low. And then at the same time, we have extraordinarily high inflation, which is causing looming threat of recession. And important for all of you in the startup community and for the broader business community, a big pullback in investment. So companies are pulling back and tightening their belts and saying, no more throwing that cash around. You can no longer paper over your problems by spending a lot of money. That was 2021. I hope you all enjoyed it. It was really fun. I did. Sadly, it ended very quickly. All right. So what do you need to invest in these tough times when you don't have that money that you can paper over your big problems? You need to invest in helping your customers. These are your most important assets. If they stay with you, they will tell their friends about you. They will spend more with you. You will have higher expansion rates, higher conversion, and you will thrive in this downturn that we're all in. I really love that saying, and I use it all the time, never waste a good crisis. And that saying applies right now. If you're in crisis in your business, can be a range of types of crises, today is a great day to invest in your customers and define this new standard of great service and deliver both an experience that is personalized and fast and convenient and set to meet their needs, and also learn from your challenges from what you're learning in customer service and experience and apply that to improve your product as well. So today I'm going to talk quickly about four different areas. First is that modern leaders know this and grow their bottom line by helping their customers. This is table stakes. You'd be surprised how many companies don't do this. We talk to them all the time, and they think of customer experience as an afterthought. Second is, how do you do that? You need to build and deliver a CX that centers on long-term sustainable value. And what that means is really understanding your customer, understanding their pain points, using that wealth of data that's coming in and streams to you from your customer, and providing convenient, personalized communication and interaction with your customers, and proactively using that data to move from a reactive customer experience mode to a proactive customer experience mode. And I'll give examples of how technology is empowering companies to do this and how this can really help your business. Third is going beyond that CX layer into actual product. You have so much data available to you that's telling you where you're failing. Your customer service team knows where you're failing as a business. Talk to them, aggregate that data, and I'll talk about how you can do that. And if you can solve those problems before they happen, that's the ultimate customer experience improvement. And last, you want to apply this same methodology that you've product to your service layer and obsess about that service layer. And I mean the broader service layer, not just customer experience and customer service, but how all of your teams that communicate with customers are communicating. And what you're going to find, like every company out there, is you have tons and tons of problems here that are hurting your business and that you need to fix. All right. So let's get started talking about the basics here. Everybody knows this, supposedly, that they grow their bottom line by investing in customers. But you know what? At the same time, what we're seeing is that's not really happening. And we're seeing a great service decline. You know, at Zendesk, we're experts in this. We study what's going on. But you see this in the news every day. I just last weekend saw this firsthand when I was flying back from the East Coast of the United States to the West Coast. And it took me 16 hours to get there, right? And I'm sure many of you have experienced these same things. Why? Because we have this very low unemployment, there's not enough service people to service business. And because we have a pullback in investment, companies are pulling back, and so they're not investing in fixing these problems. This leads to this huge service decline. At the same time, though, paradoxically, customer expectations are going up and to the right. Customers are expecting more and more and better service right now. And if they're not getting it, they're leaving your brand. Why are they expecting better service? They're expecting better service because technology has enabled them to. We've moved into a global world. Every single one of you in this room, you know, 20 years ago, you'd be competing in a local stage. You're now competing on a global stage, and there's a company ready to take your customer away from you. So what we find is that our customers are saying that 61% of them will leave a business after one bad service interaction. That's from our data. We do the CX benchmark data of all of our customers, or tens of thousands of them. And what we find is that's huge, right? 61% will leave after one interaction. That's up 22% year on year. So that's huge. And that's because there's very low switching costs. There's a company waiting to take your customer right away and provide better service. So service is a great differentiating layer. Make it two negative experiences and 76% are out the door. Right? So you have no margin for error here. It's absolutely important and critical that you provide good service. But back to CX, many companies still aren't. Again, from our reporting and surveying, a third of companies are still viewing service as a cost center and saying, oh, customer experience is a cost center for me. How do I keep that as low as possible? And even more, even those who say it, many of them aren't treating service as an incredibly important part of their business. This is absolutely nutty. Like, I have my customer service teams obsess about the data, and they don't just obsess about deflection times and CSAT and things like that. What they obsess about is, am I helping my customer get through their problem? Is that improving my retention rates? Is that improving my conversion rates? Am I getting more upsell because I'm providing better service? If your customer service teams are just focused on classic CX metrics, change that. Help them think about this from a revenue lens. They should be a profit center for you. They should be helping you sell and helping you succeed. All right, so how do you do that? You do that by delivering a great CX, of course, which sounds really easy, but it's actually really hard. And it really, really important that CX needs to focus on delivering long-term sustainable value instead of saying, oh, let's get them on a discount. Let's just get short-term profit over long-term customer value. So the way to do that is to really look at what customers are expecting from you and expecting from your competitors and meet those needs. Three big areas that we look at Zendesk and that trends we're really following. One is that digital is the front door. This is obvious, right? But it's actually something that brands don't think about. The front door, your customers want to be able to reach you from anywhere, anytime, on any corner, in any country, region, whatever, from any channel. And that's usually on their cell phones, right? So they really have high expectations. So you need to be obsessing about that digital layer because that's the way increasingly that customers are reaching out to you. Convenience is paramount. And we know this, right? But how does this show up in real world? Customers expect fast response times, but also fast solve times. Just getting back to them isn't enough. They want you to help them really quickly. And that means you need to be investing in automation and self-serve, because actually our data tells us they don't actually want to talk to you at all. They actually want to self-serve and have solutions sent to them, you know, right, put in front of them so they can solve right within that service interface without actually having to go very far. And so what we'll see, and I'll talk about this, is that layer of solve and self-serve is moving forward to the service layer from deep within help centers and websites and sending them further and further away from where they are. And that is tied to this focus on conversations. You're really trying to build a relationship with your customer when you're doing this. That's what our customers are expecting these days, right? They can get on their cell phone and they text and they Slack and they send social messages back and forth with their friends and family. And they want to have that kind of a relationship with a brand. And it's really critical that you meet that need. Because if you're forcing them to go into old school communication channels, if you're not bringing all that functionality forward so that they can access it and solve their problems really quickly, then you're going to be failing them. And again, they're going to switch to your competitor. If you do all that, what you're going to see again is that financial win. And we should be tracking that and making sure that your teams track it. So I'm going to go a little bit into how this works functionally really quickly. So there's this shifting dynamic between customers and companies customers, they want to engage, as I said, on their own terms, timeline, channels, and companies need to meet that. And that is increasingly needing moving to these messaging channels. It's not just about the channel. It's about the functionality within that channel. These are some of the really popular channels we're seeing, right? And we see huge growth in social as a channel for customer experience. That's grown in our data 32% year on year. SMS as a channel for customer service has grown 28% year on year. Compare that to email as a channel, 10% year on year, right? So there's a huge power dynamic shifting towards this messaging. What they like about messaging is it's threaded, it's personalized, you can bring data in it, into it, and increasingly, you can bring functionality into it, right? And this is where I said that service layer is coming to the coming forward and becoming incredibly powerful. Old days, you'd write an email, they get back to you, they might send you a link, you'd had to go to the link, you scroll 18 levels down and it's really frustrating. Today, what you do is you bring the functionality right into the messaging interface, right? A couple examples how I've seen this work recently, airlines, right? I talk about a bad travel experience, a good travel experience, an airline as a gate change is happening when I'm landing on a connecting flight. I get an automatic text about it. That was good 2 years ago. Now what's good is they tell me the gate change, they send me a map, and they tell me how many minutes it's going to take me to get there, right? A significant improvement. I'm much happier with them. Same thing with like retail returns. Remember cutting out paper and, you know, pasting it onto your package to return. Some of you are probably too young for this, but those days are over right now. It's all automated returns, automated change in retail. So the action is happening in the service layer, and you can use technology to enable that and create this more personalized experience, convenient experience, where they no longer have to do 8 clicks. They are solving it right from that front screen. All right, this is also where data helps you. And what we see is CX moving from reactive to proactive, because we have all this automation, all this AI, data surround that is telling you the problem that the customer is going to have even before the customer knows it themselves. And so we see a huge trend to companies saying, I'm going to proactively solve that problem for the customer. The gate change example I gave is a good one. And that is really appreciated by customers because they get frustrated if they have to outreach to you. They're less frustrated if there's a problem and you've already seen the problem and are telling them about it. All right, so that's the CX layer and how you improve it. And there's a lot to do there, and technology is your friend. So embrace it and invest in it, and you're going to see the money flow in. But there's a bigger unlock here. The bigger unlock is taking that data and actually improving and fixing the underlying problem so it never even happens. If you think about customer service, what it really is a Band-Aid over your company's failures, right? Customer service is, oh, I've failed the customer, therefore they have to write in to me to complain. What if you take all that data, which, you know, customer service is a massive amount of data, and you aggregate that data plus other data like social, review sites, whatever is in your industry, you can collect and aggregate this data, and you take that data and you stack rank the key problems that your customers are having with your product. You find that source of the problem and you solve that problem. That moves us from deflection, a customer service term, to fixing the underlying issue. The customer never even knows they have an issue, right? So you can say, these are the top 5 problems that our customers are having. And that data is going to speak to you and talk to you. And you should work with your customer service teams, because they're the ones on the front line talking to your customers, and they're going to give you the nuance that's going to tell you not only the what, that data that tells you what's happening, but the why. Why is this happening? What do I need to do about it? And if you use this customer intelligence, it will help you better meet your customer needs. There's a side benefit, which is you don't have to spend as much on customer service, right? Because you've solved the underlying problems. You don't need as many agents. Well, I don't view that as the big win. That's a nice win. As a business leader, that's a nice win for me. But the real win is growth, right? Because I've gotten excellent growth by investing in solving that underlying problem. Last point is it's not just about your product. And many companies, and especially startups in my experience, who are so obsessed about product market fit, aren't spending enough time thinking about the service layer. And as I said, the service layer is not just customer service, but how sales, marketing, product, legal, whoever, all the different companies are interacting with their customers. And what we see is that that's where a lot of companies are failing. This is a little bit harder because it's hard to track it all down. But if you use that same lens of customer intelligence and pull it together, what you're going to find are those pain points your customers are having that are horrible for them and that cause them to leave you for another company. That could be your marketing teams are not giving accurate information. Their information's outdated. That could be that your sales teams aren't getting back to people in a timely manner. That could be that your legal team, if you're in B2B, is a pain in the neck working on contracts and drives customers away, right? There's a million ways you can fail your customers in the service layer. It's your job to help figure those out and have your leaders figure those out so you solve them. Again, you'll get big wins from doing this. These are the four I just talked about. This obsess about this service layer, and you're going to get big wins in this downturn. But also at the same time, take that data and apply it to your product and to your broader service. Fix the top issues. Last kind of moment here, just from a guy with gray hair who's been doing this for a really long time. As you do this, incredibly important that you think with agility and flexibility. Because as I said, customer expectations are changing and going up and to the right continuously. I'm not talking agile software development. You should already be doing that. What I'm talking about is understanding that the needle is always moving and that customer expectations are forever moving. Something that was great last year is now considered average this year and will be considered poor service later, right? Those examples I gave make it real for you. Our expectations, all of us, have just ratcheted up into the right. And then I'll end by saying, have some compassion. Compassion for your customers, first and foremost, because they're probably struggling too, right? They're probably in a bad mood too. And so you should have compassion for their pain and obsess about solving their pain points because that's the best thing for your business. And then also have compassion for your colleagues because this is an unprecedented time. Everything has changed. Hopefully it'll get better. I'm confident it will. And I'm at 0 seconds left, so I'm going to wrap and let you all go to lunch. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Traction Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star review. And you can find more information and all the resources mentioned in today's episode at boast.ai. That's boast.ai/blog. No, I've done some silly shit, focused on the tech stack, thinking it was brilliant.